Well, we are in the book of Luke, and I'll tell you what, as I have read through the book of Luke in preparation for this, and as I go each week, there's just more and more things jump out of the pages, and God's word is active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we're going to be looking at the latter part of Luke 8 this morning. And we're going to be looking at the four types of power that Jesus displayed in four different stories. And so we're going to be telling you four different stories this morning. And, you know, Jesus came to earth, and, you know, this is typically what we would say and is absolutely true. He came to earth to die for sinners. He did a lot while he was on planet earth. He kept the law perfectly. He is the perfect sacrifice for sin because he kept the law. He came to fulfill the law, and he kept it absolutely perfectly. Another thing that he did that we're going to see this morning is that he was able to set up an earthly kingdom and have victory, showing his authority over the stuff of earth. And, you know, as you look at your life, and we were sharing before church this morning, a lot of us are going through some different struggles. You know, it's interesting that we're talking about the coronavirus and how that's kind of making headlines, and yet is there's so much in life that is difficult for us to kind of take on. And the question is, would you say that Jesus can bring solutions to what's going on in your life, or that Jesus can bring solutions to what's going on in your life? Because so many times we can take the theory of the Bible and say, okay, this is good for over here. It's certainly good for those who lived at the time of Jesus. Man, look at what went on, but not for me. And it is the difference between the Greek words logos and rhema. See, logos is the word of God. It's the objective word of God. Rhema is the word of God applied to my life that I say I'm going to grab a hold of it and I'm going to actually utilize what the word of God is saying. Would you say that Jesus will provide an answer or Jesus will provide an answer? There's a difference between quotation marks and a firm belief. And I know in my own life, I don't know about you, but I, you know, someone said the problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. And so many times, you know, I will say, Lord, it's in your hands. You got control of this. You're going to take care of me. And then 3 minutes later, there I am worrying again. And then I'm back, you know, trusting, and then I'm back worrying again. It's kind of almost like this tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. And so, do you believe that Jesus does what he does in Bible stories, but it's not to be applied to your life today? And I'm going to say to you that Jesus does what he does in the Bible stories, and it shows us that he has the power to do what we can trust him to do in our lives today. I think this has been a very meaningful verse to me. And it says in Isaiah 43, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And I don't know how many of you have ever grabbed onto this verse, but listen to this. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, and they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you." And that's, you know, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your bathroom mirror, because Jesus will, the Lord will see us across in your life, in the whole of your life, as well as that circumstance that you're going through right now. He has the power, demonstrated power, to see you across. And it's something that we grab hold of and use by faith. And so God will or can carry me across, or God can and will carry me across. It's a difference between quotation marks and a firm conviction. What life circumstance do you have that God is not able to carry you through? I will probably unpack this more in sometime in the future, but a little bit, I was sharing with the men's group that my wife Julie has lupus, and that caused a great deal of difficulty with us to have children, and she miscarried after miscarriage after miscarriage, and finally, on top of that, was warned by a doctor, do not try to have any more children, and we were heartbroken. And it was at a time that we were at a church in central New Jersey. I was a pastor there. And it seemed like there was something in the drinking water because everybody around us, everybody our age was having children. And yet we were saying, you know what, we have empty arms. And we were so desiring to have children, and yet we couldn't. And I just thank the Lord, we have three children now, one through adoption, one through biological birth. And the Lord carried us through that. But at that time, the issues and the problems and the hurts are like this. And it's hard to see past it to the other side that the Lord is going to carry us across and take us through the fire where we're not going to get burned. And so what I want to do this morning is talk about four different types of power that Jesus had, and that amazing, praise him for it, at the same time saying, this really builds my confidence in what Jesus can do. And so here's the first one. And this is coming from Luke 8. It's going to be up on the screen. Also follow along in your Bible if you so desire. But he has power over nature. And I don't know if you remember the last 2 weeks, but we talked about the parable of the soils. And we also talked about putting the light of God's word on the lampstand and letting it illuminate all of our lives. And instead of it being kind of like this sharp contrast saying, okay, now he's going to do this, this is actually an opportunity for the apostles, for the disciples, to put what Jesus said, to grab hold of his word and put it into practice. And so it says in verse 22, now on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat and he said to them, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they launched out. Can pass right by that phrase, let's go over to the other side of the lake. Jesus didn't say, let's go into the middle of the lake and have our boats sink. He didn't say, let's just kind of sail around the Sea of Galilee indefinitely. He said, we are going to go over to the other side. And he said last week, be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear. Not just what you hear, but how you hear. And did they say, we just heard that Jesus said, we're going to go over to the other side of the lake. So no matter what happens, we know we're going to get to the other side of the lake because he promised it. Let's go over to the other side of the lake. So it was an excellent opportunity for them to say and do as Jesus was saying in the parable of the soils, in the example of the putting the word of God on the lampstand, by actually saying, he said it. We're going to believe it no matter what. But what happened? Now, we're covering a lot of the stories that you may have grown up with, and they're very familiar to you. And I think as we look at them fresh, I think they have fresh things to say to our lives even today, many, many years after Sunday school, after you learned them or heard them before. But as they're sailing along, Jesus falls asleep. Bible says in other parts that he fell asleep in the stern of the boat, which would be not the bow, but the stern. So it'd be in the back of the boat. And another part of scripture says he fell asleep on a cushion. So there's Jesus asleep. And a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake. The book of Mark uses the Greek word seismos. It was a seismic storm. It was not just your average, ordinary storm. These guys were seasoned fishermen. You know, and they had seen this sort of thing before. But a seismic storm came on the boat. And it says, and it descended on the lake. And this was the Sea of Galilee. And they began to be swamped and be in danger. And there Jesus is sleeping. And the original language is, the waves kept crashing over the boat. Crashing, crashing, continuing to crash. And Jesus kept sleeping. Jesus kept sleeping. Know what's missing in there? And they And they kept believing. They kept trusting. It's not in there. What did they do? They came to Jesus and woke him up saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Now, what had Jesus said? "We're going to cross over, go to the other side of the lake. We're perishing. We're going to die." Directly in contrast to Jesus' words. So many times, and I was thinking about this yesterday, I kind of brush over my notes on Saturday, and I was thinking about this, how many times, and Estelle was actually talking about this, a situation in her life where something happened and then something even worse than that came along. And so many times, it's not just the thing itself that comes into our lives, whether it's job or financial pressures, it's that the waves keep coming, right? And so it's not just the one incident of a pressure at work. Oh man, it was really a bad Monday because I had a lot of pressure at work. It's not just that, but here comes Tuesday and there's pressure at work, and here comes Wednesday and there's pressure at work. And it's that repeated waves that come over the bow of our lives that are those pressures. And so we have the pressure of our job, and then there's the pressure of financial pressures, and then there's additional bills, and then there's relational struggles. And so it's not just the one thing, it's the multiple things that just keep crashing on our lives. And sometimes it's hard for us to say, "Lord, I still believe you that you're going to get me to the other side." We start to doubt, we start to be in a panic. And it says that Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped and it became calm. And this is a double miracle, because he rebuked the wind and the waves, and the wind stopped. But what happens when you have a storm, and even though the storm stops, the waves are still going nuts? I know that I've shared with you before that I used to do a lot of motorcycle riding, both street riding and motocross. And then I gave that up and went into a safer sport, a safer thing to do, which is boating. But boating can be quite dangerous. And I've been in some really hairy situations where a storm was coming and the waves were lapping. And it is, especially when you have your family with you, it is a very scary thing to happen. But Jesus got up and he rebuked the storm, and both the wind and the waves stopped. And then he said to them, "Where is your faith?" Jesus made a promise and they weren't listening. Take heed how you hear. If Jesus makes a promise, grab hold. Okay? Jesus made you, the Lord made you a promise in Isaiah 53 that he is going to take you from one side of life to the other. He's going to take you through whatever you're facing, through depression, through financial difficulties, and he's going to take you to the other side. When he makes you a promise, grab hold of it. And maybe one of the best things that we can do this morning is just say, "You know, I know all that stuff, but brand new, afresh, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to grab hold of his promises that he's going to take me across." Fear is the opposite of faith. When you have fear, faith is not there. When you have faith, fear is not there. And so we have to be careful that we have faith, and that helps to push out the fear out of our lives. So Jesus calms the storm. Power over demons. He has power over nature. He has power over demons. And so Jesus and the disciples, and probably the boat that they were sailing in was not very large. And you think of the disciples, you know, 12 of them plus Jesus, if that was the group that was in that boat, the boat would be about 27 feet long and about 8 feet wide. And it was not a large boat at all. And so to be tossed around on the sea would be a rough order. It was not like they were on some sort of large ship that could endure the waves better. But they sailed from the west side, maybe Capernaum, to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. Now, we don't know. There's lots of places that the country of the Gerasenes could be. We're not completely sure. But one thing we can know is probably middle of the Sea of Galilee to the south part of the Sea of Galilee. And they get onto the shore. And when he got out of the boat, there was a man from the city who was possessed with demons. Now let me just read this. And who had not put on any clothing, and so he was naked for a long time. And he wasn't living in a house, he was living among the tombs. And the demons seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles, and he was under guard, and yet he would break his bonds. He had that kind of supernatural strength, would actually break his bonds, and he would be driven by the demon into the desert. Mark 5, this we're in Luke 8, but Mark 5 says that he was constantly day and night screaming among the tombs and the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Very desperate situation. But here comes along Jesus. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, and Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. A legion, if you go by a Roman army, was 6,000 foot soldiers. And you could say, well, was he possessed by 6,000, or was there, you know, almost like a military division of the demons where a certain number possessed this man? We're not sure. But there is many, many demons that possess this man. And it had actually taken control of his vocal cords, that he was actually able, the demons were actually able to speak to Jesus through the man's vocal cords. And they were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss. See, there is something called the bottomless pit, the abyss, that is a place, a holding area, according to 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6, where certain demons are held and incarcerated until the final judgment. And they're asking Jesus not to send them away into the abyss. And so what Jesus agreed to, and we don't know the mind of Christ, but he agreed to go into swine that were feeding nearby. And the demons went into the swine, and he gave them permission to enter them. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake, and the swine were drowned. Jesus has power over demons. And so much of the fear today that we have of the supernatural realm, when our Savior has demonstrated power over the supernatural realm. And it says in this passage that the people came out, the herdsmen reported to the village saying, you know what, this big investment of 2,000 swine, that's what Mark says the number was, 2,000 swine were lost. And the people from the village came out and were very upset and they were very frightened. And there they found the man seated, clothed, and in his right mind, it said. And they said to Jesus, "Thank you so much. Why don't you come and have a meal?" No, they didn't. They said to Jesus, "Please leave. Please leave." He had just done this incredible miracle among them. And they said, "Please get out of here." And Jesus obliged. Next one that we see is that he has the power over disease. And there was a woman who had a hemorrhage. She was bleeding from her womb for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. And Mark 5 says that she endured the much at the hands of physicians, and that those physicians charged her maybe a bunch of quacks, but they charged her all kinds of money to try this, try that, and she had done everything, and she exhausted all her money. And she didn't even get better. Her condition had grown worse. And she came up behind Jesus, and so as he's passing through another crowd, we talk about this, how Jesus was constantly surrounded by crowds. She came up behind him and grabbed a part of the fringe of his cloak. Maybe Jewish men would have four tassels on their cloak, representing a reminder of the law. And maybe she touched a tassel, but she touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And she thought to herself, probably, Jesus touches people. I bet you if people touch Jesus, the same thing happens. We get healed. And so Jesus said, this woman thought she could just kind of touch Jesus and depart, get away from there. And Jesus said, "I noticed. who is the one who just touched me? And Jesus said, Lord, there's people pressing all around you. A lot of people have touched you. Jesus' question was not, I don't know who touched me. I believe it was to draw out the woman's faith and to have her actually verbalize and display her faith. And Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I was aware that the power had gone out of me. So as this woman touched Jesus, she felt Jesus' power come into her body, and Jesus felt his power, not exhausted, but leave his body. And when she had known that she had not escaped notice, she admitted to it and how she had been immediately healed. And Jesus, instead of rebuking her, said, daughter, a term of endearment, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And so that word made you well is sozo. We talked about this before, but it's actually a Greek word that means salvation. And so it could be a double miracle that not only was she cured of her hemorrhage, but she actually received salvation that day. And finally, Jesus has power over death. And this is kind of going back to when Jesus comes back from the west or the east side of the Sea of Galilee, he returned and the people welcomed them, for they had been waiting for him. And there's a man named Jairus, and he was an official in the synagogue. He was probably someone who oversaw all the synagogue worship in Capernaum. And he fell at Jesus' feet. Can you imagine this very astute and upright leader in the Jewish community falling down at Jesus' feet, the humility that showed? And he began to implore him to come to his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years old. Parents, doesn't that just strike hard at you when you hear their child is dying? And she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. And while he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. And so that is a lack of faith, right? They're saying, you know, go your way. Jesus can try to heal the girl. But then they said, you know, he's not going to be able to raise her from the dead. Just don't bother him. And how many of you have had a bad situation turn worse? And so you say, I got my hands full here. And I'm trying to deal with this situation that I'm going through right now. And it turns worse. So symptoms of sickness turn into a diagnosis. And then they turn into a diagnosis of that it's an advanced stage. Job difficulties turn into someone gets fired and you get their workload. Difficult situation turns worse. Financial problems, and all of a sudden there's this clunking in the front of your car, right? And we know that, you know, if it's one clunk, it's $100. If it's 10 clunks, it's $1,000, you know, and you're just saying, I don't need this right now. I'm under pressure. Or there's three promising jobs that are out there that you've applied for, and there's been callbacks, and now it's turned to none. And all three jobs say, we don't have that job we're offering for you. Or relational strains turn into a blow-up, and then that turns into separation. And so it's not, a lot of times, and I was thinking about this yesterday, many times it's not just the issue itself that we have to trust God for to take us across to the other side, but it is multiple things that come at us. And so it's this, and then this on top of this, and then this on top of this, and you just say, you know what, I don't need this. I don't need this right now. Then when he heard this, he answered them and said, do not be afraid any longer, only believe, and she will be made well. And so he puts fear and faith in opposition to each other. He said, don't listen, Jairus, just keep believing. And so as you're facing the things in your life, whether it's financial pressure or work pressure or whatever it is, don't stop believing. Keep believing. Keep on. Even when it piles up, keep believing. And so many times we have to kind of keep saying to ourselves, you know what, I will, through God's Spirit, He's going to energize me, and I'm going to keep believing in him. I'm going to keep believing in him that he's going to take me to the other side, no matter what the issue is. I'm going through it right now in my life, you know, and just a lot of, you know, kind of this kind of attitude, you know, it's like, what's the use, you know, and things are looking bad or whatever, and then coming back to faith and saying, you know what? The Lord's got it under control. The Lord's got it under control, and he is going to take me, and he is going to take you to the other side. So don't listen, Jairus. Keep believing. And when he came into the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. So there's Jesus' inner circle, Peter, James, and John. They're all weeping and lamenting. And Jewish funerals were not like our funerals today. What are our funerals like? They're very somber. There's soft music playing. There's people kind of talking in hushed tones. And, you know, there's quiet words of eulogy spoken. At a Jewish funeral, what would happen? There would be loud wailing and lamenting, open, very loud. They would actually hire mourners and flute players to play dirges. And so it was a very loud, very sad situation. And so he said, stop weeping, for she has not died, but she is asleep. And that's not to say that she hasn't died, but it's to say that her sleep, her death, is temporary. And they began laughing at him, saying that she was just sleeping. And that is actually, other gospels say that when they laughed at him, he put them out of the house. He said, okay, guys, you're going to laugh at me. Okay, I'm going to stick with the people who are going to be by my side here. Peter, James, and John, mom and dad, come on with me. And he after took her by the hand and said, child, arise. And her spirit returned. She got up immediately and she gave orders for something to be given to her to eat. And her parents were amazed. But he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. And so we have Jesus demonstrating power over nature, power over demons, power over disease, power over death. And in each one of these, it's not just the issue itself, but it is the complicated issue. That with his power over nature, it wasn't just one wave, it was multiple waves coming over, crashing over the boat. With the demons, it was not just one demon. What was it? Legion. Many demons. It was not just 1 year or 1 month of disease that this woman had with the issue of blood, but it was 12 years of disease. And death, it was not just sickness, but sickness turned to death. And so what we have in our lives so many times, just kind of repeating this point, that it is not just the thing itself that comes into our lives, but it's thing after thing and a thing, and it feels like we could barely handle the initial thing, and now there's more stuff that's coming into our lives. You know, Jesus has it under control. Going back to Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. And that is a promise from our God to you that he will get you across life. He will get you across this situation. But it's a question of, do you believe that he will or he can? Or do you believe that he will and he can?